از کلمه کلو اگز تمگل ها گلد ترین شکیرتی وی که فقالم کلی اگز نشان هست و استفا لان و هر دبری میری لان و هر تمام مای اگز اویری You were brought up in a place called Falbyan, is that true?
Yes, it was. And we went to school, to Killick School. It was about 3 miles walk or so. No cars or buses or nothing. And then we used to help out the neighbours gathering potatoes and tying corn and things like that. And there were a knitting class in the Gilton and Glendone, Catherine Kerr. So we should have had guilt, but we could talk if the person come in, you know, had trouble.
You had plenty of Gaelic, though,
maybe. You just know what things are, yeah. But you would know if somebody was talking about you. And we were at that class for a while, and we learned to knit darn sweaters. And then there were a man looking for somebody for a few weeks to look after his mother in Garton. So that was 2 years. He came to my mother. So I was working with an old lady and her two sons for 2 years or so.
In Garton?
In Garton. It was in Churchtown, just near where St. Columb's little church is. And then I went over to Nelly to get a job in Glenveigh, and I was there for 7 or 8 years. Was Mr. Michael Henney working, and
did you walk, like, or would you stay out in Glenveigh, Mary?
We got to home, we got a lift home and back and so on.
Right.
Bicycle. Yeah, I cycled the bicycle down here and from Glenveigh to home times. So
and how was Glenveigh to work in, Mary?
Oh, it was very good.
You loved it?
Nelly Gallagher was very good, and so was Paddy.
From Dunluce?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sir Paddy was our best man, and his wife, well, they weren't married at that time. And we used to go to Dunluce to sing. Paddy would take her and me to sing for him in the car, all these songs. And the night then that we went to Dunluce, Maggie and Brian, that was Paddy's mother and father, and Joe Welsh. And Paddy went into the house first, and Noreen was next, and I was next. And she says, Paddy's mother says to Joe Welsh in Irish, she says, shouldn't ban Paddy.
Shouldn't ban
Paddy. So Noreen didn't know what that was, and she says to me, what was that? Or, and I says, you are Paddy's woman.
Mm-hmm. But you understood it anyway.
I knew that much anyway.
You did. But Mary, we'll go back to Glenveigh there. What exactly kind of work were you doing?
I was working in the scullery, you know, preparing, getting dishes washed and preparing food and things for the dining room and things like that,
and was,
for the staff.
Was Michael Henney there himself?
Oh yes, he would be up and down, and he would come to Nelly to do the menu maybe for the week. They would figure out the menu for the week, and if they wanted something changed, he would get it changed, and he would have maybe 14 or 15 for dinner or lunch or whatever the case may be. So he never sat at a table with 13. He always had 12 or 14.
Didn't like the number.
I always remembered that. So.
But was he all right to work?
Oh, he was a very kind man, and he was there one Christmas, and it was great. Him and the sister, Mrs. Winterstein. And then his nephew was to build a house down in Derrylahan. That is now where that new road is, where you go into Glenveigh.
I know what
those trees are.
I do.
But him and the wife parted, and that was the end of that. So
your working day was just cleaning? And
your working day was just cleaning and
yeah.
Things like that, and getting the dogs food ready.
Yeah.
He had two big dogs and a little one. And things like that, and good fun.
So would he go off then, often on holiday?
Oh, he did, surely. He went to Austria and different places, and he went away then in October for the winter, and he wouldn't be back to after Easter, maybe. He was just stayed there for 6 months.
And there'd be a lot of men working there too, doing
the
gardening.
Oh,
there
were the gardeners, and they were taking the vegetables and that, mm-hmm. and the flowers. And he used to like to arrange them with maybe Paddy or somebody to help him in the flower room. And he got it all flower room, but a new flower room done. Nice wood, Tommy Ryan, he's dead now, was a great joiner. He done a lot of woodwork in Glenvie.
And did he have, like, would it be strange to you at the time, did he have big cars and all that, really?
Who?
Mr. McInerney?
Oh, well, Dermot was a chauffeur,
right.
Always. And then they had a wagon for taking the staff to Mass, things like that, into the shop. We used to stay in the winter, two girls, and you would get to Dillon's and Letterkenny. Dermot would bring us to get for a week's groceries, bring us back again.
You'd be looking forward to that, getting
your
day out.
Getting your day out.
Out shopping.
So.
You go back again, Mary, you said then you took an interest in Columbkilly, you have a lot of knowledge of it.
Well, I was always interested in gardening because it was beautiful, and when I was working there for a few years, it was even nicer. And we used to go to visit Jimmy Cunningham. He's dead now. His sister was Mary Geller from Priestley. She always took us on the 15th of August. Manus drove us. And we'd on the tourist first. And then we went down to Jimmy Cunningham's and we had a meal. And Jimmy would tell you all the stories. And he was a boatman in Glenvie. Jimmy.
So you learned from him about tourist?
Oh, well, should have learned more about something about a flag was lifted where the garden clay was.
Mm.
And it was put some other place. But then the story we heard that why the garden clay is white, that St. Columbkill's mother hemorrhaged. I think she was Ethna.
She was Ethna, yeah.
And that is the ground then turned white, and then there were a Freel that left the garden clay. So Dan Freel's mother was Freel as well as his father. They were both Freels. And them young fellas now, Jimmy and Dan and Van is dead. And I don't know how many more boys, but I used to know them.
So only the Freels can lift it?
Only the Freels can lift it.
So what would you, I mean, I have it myself, but what would you, would that carton clay protect you from?
Oh, it protects you from
fire and
protects you from everything, because the one last night I have it all over the house and the phone in the house, every room in the house I have it.
Do you?
Yeah, in the phone. Josephine told me that.
Right.
Do you do that?
Tell me, you said you go out to garden every New Year's Eve. Tell me your wee story there.
The wee story there, you like to go out and Kathleen Doohan says the rosary. If anybody can say a dicket, she prays for good health for the people that's dead and for all those things. And it's just a nice rosary, and it's very nice. And there's a cure in the water that night.
New Year's Eve.
The old people told you. And there was another story, it was Protestants lived there, Jesus. And they lived up, you see an old shed still, there's sheds to your left hand side as you're going up along the wall doing the terrace. And now it's a man in the name of Bavard has that. And they took up the holy water to boil potatoes and they took up the fish. Granny told us this. And she said if they were on, the over would come back, they wouldn't be boiled. And the fish was supposed to slide out and get down to the well. And they're supposed to be burned on one side. That's what Granny told us.
So Mary, let's go back again to the Torres. Like, you have a lot of knowledge about the Columbkilly's Torres. Could you go through that? Like, you've done it often.
Well, you take off your shoes at the well, and you go up there in the bare feet, and there's a little stone sitting on a flag, and you go round three times with that, and if there weren't on any holy water than that when you were finished, you put a wee taste of holy water to get up from the well and put it in the little hole in the stone. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, I didn't. No, I wouldn't be.
That's
honest.
What Mary Geller always taught us. And then you go out, you keep going to your right, and there's a pile of stones behind the little church, and you lift one up and you put it up, and you go around that three times, and you do that for three times. You go on up then, keep to your right, and there's a standing stone. You go around that three times and you still say the prayers. You have to say the 15 decades of the rosary, and you put, rub your back on the stone and you kiss the stone. And when you've that done, you come along then the wall at the top of the graveyard. You still keep saying your rosary. You come over then at the front of the graveyard, we'll say. And you cross on them and you go up, their daughter's buried there and I don't know who else, and you go round that and you do the same for three times and you lift a small stone and you do that for three times. So when you're finished there, you come down to a standing stone again and there's a little pile of small stones and you do the same again for three times. And when you're finished there, you come on down and you go round the well outside and you do the same again and you say your prayers then for the bottles of water you left and you're still in the bare feet. So I think that's about that.
Yeah. How long would it take to do it?
Well, it'd just take an hour or maybe two. Take your time and do it.
And it's done on the 9th of...
From the 9th to the 15th of August.
9th of June.
To the 15th of August.
Any time between...
Any time between that. And you also have to do well as well on the 15th of August as well as Garten.
Mary, have you seen or know of people who have been cured?
Oh yes, Bill Geller was cured. He had a bad motor bike accident and his knee was giving him a lot of trouble. And he got better off his knee. So one time then we were up and there was a man from Letterkenny who got cured. But I don't know who he was or anything. But the man was there and said he got cured.
And your friend here in Creasla?
Oh, she, Mrs. Geller, or Mary Geller, Mary Mandy is one knew her. She always went back to Garten, where she was from. And she took me with her, and Manus used to drive us. We had a nice day out. What I done with them last year now. Marjorie and her sister Mary McGill and Eilish Gillen and Marigot McGonagley. So I done showed them what to do and we went down to the cross and showed them and made them lie in the stone. Come back then and the water goes up the hill, it's the Aber Bridge, because there were a man caught a salmon there and St. Colum Kill wanted it and he says no. And the man says, you'll never catch another one there.
You never catch another salmon?
No. And you don't really know if the water's going up the hill or not. Really, you need to see it.
You think it's nearly going up there?
Yeah. Well, I think it must be. Yeah. Going up to the Garten Lake or mm-hmm. That's Garten Lake. Mm-hmm. So then we went on round then. There's a few stones then along the Chapel Road, as we call it, that if you had the toothache, you go and you just...
Say a few prayers.
But we didn't get down to the Holy Well that day because it was raining badly. It was very stormy and we just didn't get down, but I was down many times before, but it's not marked very good. There should be more,
yeah.
You know, about it.
Should be more organized.
Yes, it should be. And it's a wonder the priest now in Churchill or that doesn't. But this is a beautiful well and there's a flag in the top of it. And St. Colum Kill was over in the Derivay Mountains and he got thirsty and he must have jumped over there and he scraped and he got a beautiful well and there's a little stream coming out of it and the water's so cold, it's beautiful.
And Mary, do you remember we were talking just earlier there a few minutes back, we were talking about New Year's Eve?
Yes.
And you always like to visit
mm-hmm.
there. In Garten.
Yes.
You said this year, but the storm we had, there wasn't a breath of wind up in...
No, that was some time ago.
All right, you tell me the story then.
That was, I don't know how many years that was. It was a very windy night. And there were ESB men out here in poles, and the one was severe. And when we went to Garten, you wouldn't think it was the same night at all.
Nice and calm.
Oh, it was very calm. Never forget that. That is true. Wally Conan, I know Wally Conan was there as well. There's some of the men that used to go dead now, Danny Nealis and Gracie Kelly and Paddy. Remember the lady was suffocated in the house? They used to always go. And different people. So, see, you can go to Doonwell that night too, but I would rather go to Garten. But I hadn't been up this while, but at the end of this year, maybe.
Mary, you're going to sing a few songs for me now, and we'll have a wee break, and you can choose what you want to sing for us.
Well, is that all there recorded?
Oh,
aye. As best.
Do you want to sing now, or do you want to break for a wee while?
What about, will we sing that wee one about Garten?
Yeah, you'll sing that. In your own time now, Mary.
I love to stray by Garten's breeze and Garten's lovely hills, and by Lacoon Lossa too, to view the rippling rills. By Cloncairny breeze where oft I strayed in days of long ago, to meet the men and maidens where the Lannan waters flow. And that's all I know of that.
That's lovely. Nice.
I'm not a good singer, no.
Mary, we've heard often about Colum Kindy's prophecies, but you have learned a lot of stuff as well.
Well, just that there, that I'm telling you, that you, from the old ones.
You know, you mentioned a flagstone there earlier.
There's a flagstone somewhere.
And his footprints are...
Oh, yes, his footprints and his knee prints.
Mm-hmm.
It's over in the, we call it the Chapel Road, as you go over to Glendone Chapel.
Right.
It's there beside, I think, near where you go down to St. Colum Kill Centre.
Oh,
that used to be the Loughway Estate, you know.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. That was that land there, and where they have the... They keep people in it now, what they call it.
Hostel.
A hostel. Mm-hmm. You go on down to your left to get the hostel,
yeah.
And then they built the new Colum Kill Centre.
Mm-hmm.
To your right. That's when they were getting the Glendone Chapel fixed, where they had the mass, you know. And it was very good. It was lovely. They had chairs and everything. It was lovely. It was very good.
Right, and you mentioned some other flagstone there as well.
Oh, that flagstone that you lie in, that you'll not be lonely.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is a great big flagstone, and it's beside the cross that Mrs. Adair erected. Cornelia O'Dare, I don't know what year, but it's all on the cross. And if you lie in the stone, you'll not be lonely or homesick when you go away, maybe to America or wherever you go.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who don't know about these things now. Like
they don't know about these things.
But you have stuff printed out.
No, I have nothing printed out, it's just in my head.
Well, it taught us how I'm killing you, you had that printed anyway.
Oh yes, but I wanted to get that, have that right.
Because if you didn't, it's just going to go.
See, that was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mary, you'll sing a song for me now, maybe lovely old Fintana, your own favourite anyway.
Yes. My countrymen, I'll take this pen to write a verse or two, and as I leave to cross these waves and take her last adieu, our splendid boat, she is now on float in the foil we're sailing down, and as we leave, our hearts does grieve for lovely old Fintown. Oh, precious loss have been the cause, with many's a boy like me. The land's too small to serve us all, and we must cross the sea. Though our green shores are rich with ores kept back by England's crown, and each green field abundant yield in lovely old Fintown. Many nights I spent in much content with lads and lasses gay, and songs were sung by old and young before we went away. And the merry kay we are today in Philadelphia town, sure we'll not forget the friend we've met near lovely old Fintown. My hell's clad hills in purling rills, and fancy now I seem where I oft times walked and fondly talked with Cushla Graham O'Cree. Her dark brown hair over shoulders fair and fit to wear the crown, she does reside at the mill side near lovely old Funtown. Farewell then to hill and dell and to my comrades all, and twice farewell to my own dear girl down here in Donegal. On St. Patrick's Day, though far away, my shamrock I will drown, and I'll think of thee, sweet Graham O'Cree, in lovely old Funtown. St. Colin Kill was baptised in Temple Douglas, and he was educated in Kilmacrenan. And I suppose he had to go to Iona maybe then, or
he
went down to Clonmacnoise or somewhere, didn't he?
He did, and he went to Derry.
Like. He went to Derry, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where they called it Derry, Columkiller.
And Glen
Columkiller.
So there's an old ruin out there in Kilmacrenan as well, like where he went to school.
Where he went to school.
Yeah.
But he had a very far journey to go to these places.
Didn't he just? Yeah.
But I had another little book, I don't know, somebody gave it to me, but I just haven't it now. Just the wee stories on it.
Mm-hmm.
About it, and I must get it for you the next day to
yeah.
see what were.
Can you think of any of them?
No, I just don't have them. But I must look for it.
Do you have any knowledge then about, we'll go back to Glenveagh, about John George Adair and the history of evictions and all that?
Oh, well, the evictions where they started up at Duhurry Hall, you see, where Niall McGinley lives, over there. It was all, there were 44 families lived well in days gone by, and then the evictions came and put them all out. They done a video about that. 1988 or before that, maybe it was 84, and they started, we were all up at Duhurry. It was McMonagall's house, Paddy McMonagall's house, and Paddy was there, and they were playing a harp and they were singing. May McClintock was there, and Niall McGinley, and oh, they were a father daughter. His great grandparents was evicted, and he came back from Australia to get all that.
The O'Dohertys, yeah. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's a house up in Churchill, that priest.
Did you hear of then the first person who was evicted? Did you ever hear that story, Mary?
No, I didn't.
No. I just heard, like, I don't know how true it was, that it was an old woman who was first evicted, like.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, there's the song that I was writing last night.
Which song is that, Mary?
It was Cruel John Adair.
Yeah, do you know what, Mary? You're going to sing another one now for me, but where did you get the song?
I got it from my mother.
And it's about John George
Adair. It's about John George Adair.
Right.
About the evictions.
Right.
And it was about a couple, and they must have been going to get married. So will I start now?
You're on.
Oh, Nelly, come and live with me beneath the haze and fern. Our ruler's home I got for thee, convenient to Lohern. The lark has risen from its nest, and the mayflower scents there. Once resting on this faithful breast, you're free from John Adair. Oh, will he never talk to me of love or faithful home? My parents have been dispossessed this weary world to roam. Some dreary nights I press my heart, I'm almost in despair. From happy homes we now must part, out forced out by John George Adair. They brought the sheriff to our doors and quenched our fires so bright. My aged grandsire was no more, he died that very night. My mother weeps her youngest child, a child of beauty rare, just 4 months old, so meek and mild, all done by John Adair. Many a weary wretched face has left the mountain side, has climbed Glenveagh's old rugged place, and stemmed the Atlantic tide. For 50 homes he levelled all, and wild birds filled the air, and 50,000 curses fall on cruel John Adair. A ploughman poor his grandsire was, and lived near Garvey Inch, supported by the villagers. His mother was a drudge, but now he's called a gentleman, as you are all aware, and lives near Ballybrickis town. His name is John Adair. This couple gave two lingering looks, never more again to meet. Poor Wally, he's beneath the waves, without a winding sheet. And Nellie's duty made her stay, her parent aged to care. With broken heart, she pined away, all done by John Adair.
Your mother used to sing that.
Oh, she'd better sing it than me.
Nish Mary, did you all do another song from Churchill?
It was Churchill, about Churchill. Now Churchill, it is built on the top of a hide, where the pubs are kept open by day and by night. Gard Shovlin, he's busy putting up little pens, and he's buying Lear's mash for his ducks and his hens. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 10 miles from Churchill to Letterkenny. Now Kathleen, she sells the best of good stout, as long as Gard Shovlin's not standing about. She sells it on Sundays and Mondays as well, and the guards in the village can all go to hell. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 12 miles from Creasley to Letterkenny. Now Hughie, he drives the big swally bus, for to get started he needs a good push, but he does not care if he's in before 9. Josie Galler would raise hell if he was not in time. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 10 miles from Churchill to Letterkenny. Now me in the office, she has a hard time, but I do think her star is beginning to shine. For Master Charlie, he has it all planned, to bring her down to Giddor's fairy land. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 12 miles from Creasley to Letterkenny. Now Victor, he lives in the centre of town, and there you will hear all the news of around. Now Mary, she calls there in Donal as well, and some of their wild cracks I cannot now tell. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 10 miles from Churchill to Letterkenny. Now McLaverty's keep a respectable pub, and it would not be fair then to give them a rub. As long as you're willing to stand at the bar, they'll promise you Charlie'll bring you home in this car. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 12 miles from Creasley to Letterkenny. Now Josie, he works in the Letterkenny cope, and was a school teacher, he hasn't a hope. For she has a mini, and she does get around, and the ESB boy she will meet in the town. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for us 12 miles from Creasley to Letterkenny. Now Hughie, he is a big dealing man, and he'll buy all your cattle as soon as he can. But now that he's touring a different track, he wants a tractor for John and a teacher for Pack. Tra-la-la, tra-la-lee, for it's 10 miles from Churchill to Letterkenny. Did you know a Charlie Ferry from Gidore? That was Master Charlie.
He was teaching.
Doing a line with the post office one.
No, Charlie Ferry.
See, Master Charlie had it all planned to bring her down to Gidore's free land.
Who wrote the words?
Oh, it was that Paddy McGittigan, God rest him, and Patrick Harkin and Gerald Doughty and them. They just kind of made it up. I don't know.
Now, are you going to...
See, there's some of them dead. And
yeah.
And their names.
Okay,
Hugh Patrick's dead.
Yeah.
And William lives in the centre. He's dead. It was Miss Georgie used to come there and Dr. Maloney as well. Mm-hmm. So I just changed them around.
I know.
There's no harm in it.
Not at all. Now, are you going to sing another one for me? You said you have another.
Well, I'll sing the Bold Engineer.
You will.
One dark stormy night, not a star was in sight, and the north wind came howling down the line. There stood a brave engineer, was a sweetheart so dear, and his orders were to raid old number 9. As he kissed her goodbye, was the tears in his eyes, and the joys in his heart he couldn't hide. For the whole world seemed bright as he told her that night, as tomorrow she would be his dashing bride. As the train rolled along, and the wheels hymned the song, and the black smoke came pouring from the sky, the headlight of gleam seemed to brighten his dreams, for tomorrow sure he would be going by. He spread round the hill, and his brave heart stood still. The headlights were shining in his face. As he whispered a prayer, he was thrown in the air, for he knew it would be his end of race. On the wreck he was found, lying there on the ground, and he asked them to raise his weary head. As his breath slowly went, this message he sent to a loved one who thought that they would be wed. I've a little white home that I built for our own, where I promised we would be happy, you and I. For I leave it to you, for I know that you'll be true, till we meet at these golden gates goodbye. Till we meet at these golden gates goodbye.
My hair, Mary.
No, it's not my hair, it's terrible.
Nah, there's none to come out. Thanks for your time, Mary, and enjoy it too. Gonna meet him, my dear.